All right, everybody, welcome to Inside the Locker. We are one short. Adam Charles is not in the house tonight. We were recording this late on a Monday. This is the Thanksgiving week special. With me, as per usual, Logan Yeary on the boards.
That's me.
JC De Leon.
What's up?
Elliot Fontanette.
How y'all doing?
Penny the dog in the background.
Oof.
A lot to unpack tonight, so we'll just jump right into it. Now, first and foremost, gentlemen, we're going to get into all the Thanksgiving week sports. This is a very weird week, year in and year out, because this is the week when your calendar is loaded with social events, sporting events. You're in like the fight for your fantasy football life, you know. It's just all kind of condensed into this weird week where you always feel like you're a half step behind. You know,
thank you, because like, I feel like I'm the only one.
Yeah. And you're tired, and
you should relax. It's Thanksgiving. Motherfucker, do you work?
They're always just like a step off, you know. Wednesday night, this was popularized by an Onion article a couple years ago, but there's that Wednesday night before Thanksgiving where you go to the bars in your hometown, you know, and it's just kind of weird, and you see your high school friends, and that's kind of where we're at. But
they're all oddly racist.
Everyone's a little bit racist. Yeah. There's always like a fight. There's always just a weird situation. You see somebody that was mean to you in high school, and now they're being nice, but they're like in a bad place in life. You know, it's kind of a cliche, but that's America.
Ain't that America?
Speaking of cinematic cliches, though, I did want to talk briefly because you know. One of the things that you do also during the holiday season is you have to go to the movies with your family because
people don't want to talk to each other.
People don't want to talk because it's just like, let's just, everybody shut the fuck up. Let's go to the movies. Yeah. Just shut the fuck up. Let's go to the movies. You guys actually have seen some of the big ones. Now, I want to start very quickly. We're going to talk about these very briefly because these are not general interest movies. These are movies if you're stuck with children. Yes. If you have to see kids, if you got like little kids, little cousins, and this is common. This happens to all of us. You know, you got to go see a family friendly film.
You got little speed bumps around you.
Good Dinosaur or Victor Frankenstein, are those worth your $10 in popcorn?
Victor Frankenstein is not. It's a weird retelling of the Frankenstein tale you're familiar with, focusing on... It's weird because it's called Victor Frankenstein. It's actually focusing on Igor, and it's a very different type of Igor than you've seen before, played by Daniel Radcliffe. It's basically told from his point of view, and how Victor Frankenstein rescued him from the circus, where he was like the freak that everybody treated like shit. But Igor,
so is it, you're a scientist, Igor? Do they have that scene anytime?
No, not a scientist, but Igor is like, as a hobby, he practices medicine and he knows like everything there is to know about medicine.
Because it's a hobby, okay.
Yeah.
Nice. So, but in general, so it's just not enjoyable. And if you see this movie, it's going to be a chore.
Right. And I feel like you mentioned those because you know that we saw those tonight, but last week, just to jump in, I did see Creed.
I was going to get to that.
And
I can't wait to see that.
Now, first and foremost, Creed, Michael B. Jordan, director of Fruitvale Station. Don't assume that just because your wife is interested in seeing that movie that she knows that Apollo Creed dies. Don't assume that happens because you might accidentally spoil it for her and she might actually get a little upset.
You sound like Charlie.
Like someone at this table.
So how was Creed?
Creed is fantastic. It's as fantastic as I thought it was going to be based on the trailers.
I'm getting goosebumps hearing you talk about it. I'm so happy.
Yeah.
The buzz coming out of it was that Sly could actually get a supporting nomination. And I wasn't necessarily buying that. I figured that was just some of the hype from seeing it early, but he does turn in a really great performance. It's like, I don't know what it is about that Rocky character that brings it out of Sylvester Stallone, but it's heart-wrenching.
It feels like when he plays Rocky, he's just playing himself.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a part he channels, like, of being an up-and-comer director. Like, just, he goes back to that. Like, that synesthesia gets back to him, and he's I'm back in it. It's about how many times you get back up.
Yeah.
It's like, Balboa was good.
Yeah.
That was a legitimately good movie.
I legitimately enjoyed Rocky Balboa. Yeah. I really, you know, I love all the Rocky movies. Every
even five?
Yeah, you know, I saw, you know, that was, I was like 13 when I saw it, man. And I enjoyed it then. But, yeah, I like all of those Rocky movies. I connect with them. And it's just Sly being Sly.
Mm-hmm. Everything
is good.
Everything I love about sports movies, everything kind of why we started doing this podcast. Like, it's, yeah, go see Creed.
And plus it has Michael B. Jordan, like, and he's amazing.
Yeah.
Friday Night Lights, everything that he's in is fantastic.
He's really good. If I can be hypercritical about him in one sense, in that he is really fantastic in this role, But for the most part, he is kind of Michael B. Jordan, and Michael B. Jordan is just kind of a really charming actor in general.
Yeah.
One of these days, and I said this on the review, like on the oneofus.net review, one of these days, he's going to completely lose himself in a role, and it's going to be fucking awesome when he does. It wasn't quite here, and I hoped it would be, but it's still really good. And,
wait for his Heath Ledger, like Joker.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're still getting Michael B. Jordan.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of know what you mean. He has that sort of very distinct underdog, like, kind of chip on his shoulder persona.
Yeah, you're waiting for that, like, Brad Pitt Fight Club.
Right.
Because Brad Pitt had played Brad Pitt, who played Brad Pitt for, like, 20 years.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, Elliot, Good Dinosaur.
Good Dinosaur? Okay, well, Brian...
now, this is another family one, to be sure.
Yeah, another family
one. The family.
Brian Salisbury, Inside the Locker alum and founder, saw it as also. He liked it a lot more than I did. I'm a huge animation fan, and it was a very solid movie, very well done. It's going to be enjoyed by kids, and just, it's a perfect Thanksgiving movie if you don't have anything to do, and you don't want to talk to your family, you don't want to sing Adele hello to them to get past the racist discussions, then I recommend going seeing this with your cousins, because you'll like it and you'll enjoy it, and it will make you want to go to Yosemite Park, because that's where it's set. It's set in the Yosemite Valley about like 63 million years ago, with dinosaurs, and it's really well done, but it's not anything special. It's not The Incredibles. It's not Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
It's not approaching Aladdin, anything like that. It's not approaching Totoro. It's just sort of doing what it needs to do. It's painted by the numbers, and it's like watching the Houston Rockets
paint
play.
By the numbers, the Houston Rockets. You know, I like that because, yeah, you're right. I mean, I think if you're an adult, you're only going to see this movie if it's a transcendent movie where people are like, hey, you've got to see this
film. Yeah, because like, I watch animation. Literally, I watch animation every day. Like, I love animation, and I'm always looking for something good. And I'm not talking about just, like, Cowboy Bebop, anything like avant-garde. I'm talking about something that's, like, at least I'm not supposed to see it coming.
Yeah.
And this is, like, every beat you see coming from a mile away.
Yeah.
It's really well done. Really well done, but it's just sort of boring.
Paint by the numbers.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's what I have to say.
Enough said. Big week, though. And obviously it's Thanksgiving week, so I figured we should kind of just go in a circle, have a little thought experiment, and get into what we are thankful for this holiday season. So I'll go first, I'll kick it over to Logan, we'll go in a circle, maybe we'll go around the circle once or twice. I am thankful for Tony Romo. Tony Romo.
That's a good Cowboys friend right there, he looks at facts.
Cowboys, 3-0 with Tony Romo this season.
What's their record the rest of the time?
0-7 without Tony Romo.
I just imagine him walking into the locker room. Y'all just live here. I've won this shit.
It's, well, you know, but what I've enjoyed is, you know, obviously if you don't like the Cowboys, you're not going to like the Cowboys, and that's fine. But people that like the Cowboys, and like, I have less patience for people who are like Eagles and Washington and New York fans. Then I, yeah, like, that's fine. I get it. You have your team. We don't like each other during football season.
You don't have good taste, care. Whatever.
I can't stand the Cowboys fan that's like, Tony Romo sucks. Tony Romo sucks, man. The guy sucks.
He kept y'all winning for years.
The guy sucks. I really, I can't. And that guy finally had to just sit down.
Shut the fuck up.
He just had to sit down. There were literally people, my next door neighbor, Kenny, who was like kind of a just, you know, he is a white guy that wears tank tops and walks his basset hound around the neighborhood, and he has this tank top that has like a little grill on it, and it says "fired up." He's just
that's
like
pretty awesome.
Just like a real Texan guy, and yeah, when Romo went down, he's like, "Shit, man, they played better with Whedon. Romo sucks, dude. I keep telling you, Romo sucks." So all those guys, you know, just had to really eat it. I'm not saying he's Tom Brady. I'm saying he's a top 10 quarterback, and he can do a lot.
You're saying, that'll do, pig. That'll do.
Now we get – now. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for
– did you echo Jerry Jones's drunken sentiments where he's just like, Tony Romo's a miracle?
not quite. But
Jerry Jones turn into Charles Barkley?
The miracle. Just slurring through the word
miracle. He's a miracle.
Terrible.
Logan, what about you? But what are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for my new family here at Inside the Locker and getting a chance to play with you guys, hang out, and record this. No, that's cheesy stuff. I am thankful for that, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I'm thankful for college football. You know, it never ceases to be entertaining and chaotic and fun and heartbreaking and all these things. And it remains my number one sport. And yeah. Penny agrees with me.
Penny completely agrees. Oh,
or disagrees. I can't tell what.
Yeah, okay. I don't think college football is. I feel like it's better than ever.
Yeah.
You know, with apologies to Ohio State fans, just the game of knockout that we're seeing. I've never seen. I mean, think about this. This were the BC era. We'd be headed toward Iowa against Clemson. Nobody believes that's something that nobody believes.
I guess actually that leads into a good point. It's like I'm thankful for the college football playoffs.
Yeah. Also, just it's like I love the way Iowa is just trolling everybody. And it just doesn't. It just keeps winning. It keeps winning. It keeps kind of making a mockery out of the idea that you have to be like a perfect undefeated team to win a title. Okay. I'm thankful that you're seeing more teams having to take on tougher competition earlier in the season. And mm-hmm. It's great. JC, what about you?
Thankful that not just this year, but the past couple of years, what used to be, the NBA used to be not so relevant until March or April. It's really kind of turning into, with all the drama and storylines and things like that.
Holy
like,
fuck!
It's
that
becoming
drama.
A season long thing. And
just the Clippers, on fire right now. Yeah. Just completely self. Yeah. And watching the Warriors do something special. I know that I'm not a big, I've never been a big Curry guy. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. But still, you're right. It's history. It's, like, amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shit, you're right, man. There's, like, five different storylines.
Because, you could look at any angle. Like, lost amidst the fanfare for the Warriors, it's kind of motivating LeBron a little bit, and he's kind of having similar year he had a couple of years ago, and getting after his teammates and things like that, and nobody's really... He's sort of flying under the radar, and I appreciate that. And I feel like when he's flying under the radar like that, like you see it in a lot of guys. Chris Paul is also kind of a lot of people are upset at all the attention that Curry's getting, and so it's kind of motivating these guys to play.
That's good. Better.
Yeah. Oh.
So we have some breaking news here that is not necessarily breaking, but I did want to very quickly address this. We're on the eve of the Star Wars movie.
Yes. Mm. That is breaking.
So Mark Hamill... Did you hear what he said today?
He said, "Is he like under an NDA to not say anything?"
Well, he is, but he what he said was, he's growing out.
What are you gonna do, stop him?
He said today. He said he's growing out his beard for Star Wars 8, Episode 8.
Well, there you go.
Well, that tells you all you need to know.
So that's one semi non-spoiler.
That's a gigantic spoiler. It's a gigantic spoiler. Okay, so he's
the Jedi Master. So it doesn't.
It just grosses you out, doesn't it? It's like all these movies are going to. It's just like the Marvel Universe where these movies exist to like move around the chess pieces.
I think that like they've already pretty much come out and said that they're releasing a new Star Wars movie every other year.
Makes
like,
sense.
It's going to happen for like until as long as they can.
Like they paid $4 billion to George Lucas for the rights. They need to make that money back.
Mm-hmm.
And Disney, the mouse doesn't fuck around. He's going to get his money. So like, I mean,
he'll cut a bitch if he has to.
You know, I tell you, it may give people fatigue, but I think it's a smarter way they're releasing these now because it sort of mimics. I don't know if you know about the Toys to Life phenomenon with Disney Infinity Skylanders. Mm-hmm. Disney Infinity is a really smart product because what Disney used to do is make a different game for every movie that came out, and it would just be shitty. Now all they're doing for a different movie is just releasing a new character to go into this game. So for Good Dinosaur, they released like a little character of the main character from Good Dinosaur. Mm-hmm. It's sort of the same thing. It's like these Marvel movies, it's like, okay, I got a new property. Instead of having to promote it, I'll sold just this new property, because like Ant-Man wouldn't get a following.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, Ant-Man, it's in the same universe as Captain America, and the Falcon's going to show up, so maybe you might show up.
Yeah.
So same thing with Star Wars. Like they're like, look, if we have a shared universe, we can make some money.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that actually leads me back to what I'm thankful for. I am thankful for streaming media, because as somebody who came up in the 90s, when anime was extremely hard to come by, like I had to go to the library and download stuff on Real Player
mm-hmm.
to watch a Dragon Ball Z episode, and like had to suffer through cable and all that bullshit. Like I'm stuck right now watching. I watch anime on Crunchyroll. I get to watch Jessica Jones on Netflix and Gossip Girl, which is good and amazing. And I'm Chuck Bass.
I'm not here to judge you.
I feel like it's something that needs to be expressed more, that people take streaming media and the internet for fucking granted, and it's fucking amazing.
Oh, I absolutely love it. And like, and on top of that, you know, a lot of people love their like Blu-ray and DVD collections, but I'm thankful to get rid of that shit. I'm thankful to reduce some of that clutter, and something like Netflix streaming allows me to kind of open that up. Or even stuff like having a Plex library, I can like burn that stuff into like a hard drive and just have that stuff running directly to my
But it works both ways, because like, if you're a collector of Blu-rays and DVDs, you get more cachet because you do have that shelf.
Yeah.
Because people, when they see that, they know that's not by accident. You really just want to be able to watch Man on Fire at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to have my fucking Man on Fire. That's going to happen.
You're not taking that off my fucking Netflix in November. I guess one last thing that I'm thankful for, and I just wanted to talk about this a little bit, and that's, look, I'm in 12 fantasy football leagues.
It's a problem. Damn, dude.
In every single one of those leagues, I am in contention for the playoffs, if not already in the playoffs, going deep. So I'm thankful for the season that I've had, because obviously you don't get that far without quite a bit of luck. But
I think that's skill. It's not luck.
There's a lot of skill, but there's a lot of luck involved as well. That said,
apparently he listened to his own advice in the when we were recording the tips for fantasy.
Getting high off his own supply.
Well, look. I'm not playing. I'm either in the playoffs or on the bubble for the playoffs. In fact, I think there's only tonight. I won a very critical game, so I'm going to go to 7-4 and simultaneously knock out my friend Sean. Who, if you're listening, Sean, you can suck my dick.
Suck it all.
And I apologize,
Adam, in our league.
Yeah, and Adam, you can suck JC's dick. So
it's a fantasy podcast.
Right. So, sorry. We'll edit that out. We'll edit out the dick sucking joke. So anyway, it's not even a joke. It's just a terrible statement of purpose. Here's the point, guys. It's not even. I'm not going to sit here and talk about my team. No one cares. But here's what we care about. If you're listening to this, it's too late. Or
this okay, Drake.
This is when you're most. This is when you're most dialed in. This is when you're loading up supplies. This is like you're about to go into this really long week, Thursday to Monday.
Avoiding
Thanksgiving
your
games, avoiding your travel. You might be traveling. You might have kids. You might be in a, do your due diligence, because this is a very critical week. So here are just some quick tips for surviving the fantasy playoffs. First and foremost, some people that you need to make sure you add when you hit the waiver wire. This show is going to go live Tuesday. Waiver wire is going Tuesday nights, Wednesday nights. Do your due diligence. Get yourself these players. If you have any free agent budget left, if it's one of those kind of leagues, throw all your money behind that. Number one free agent you have to have, if he's by some twist of fate still on the waiver wire, that's Thomas Rawls. Marshawn Lynch is probably done for the year. That abdominal strain, that sports hernia that he's got, it's probably going to keep him out the rest of the regular season. Thomas Rawls is a difference maker. Every year this happens, we've seen people like Jordan Todman. Zach Stacy. We've seen people like last year with C.J. Anderson. He's going to be a monstrous force going forward. He needs to be on your team, and you need to be starting him. I would start him above people like, Doug
Devontae
Martin.
Freeman?
Devontae Freeman. It's hard to say.
But he might be concussed next week.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll see. Another guy, remember, all those Justin Forsett owners, Buck Allen, Javorius Allen, he is the guy in Baltimore for the rest of the season. He's going to get a lot of touches. Make sure you get a piece of him.
Yeah, because it's not like Matt Schaub is going to throw to people. He has nobody to throw to.
Nobody. more fringe guys, Ahmad Bradshaw, Tevin Coleman. You need starting running backs. Even Jordan Todman. These are all players that you need to just be collecting. I would... I don't know. I mean, I think collect your players, do your due diligence. If for whatever reason the trade deadline is not over, you're at a position right now. If you're contending for the playoffs or if you're in the playoffs, the only thing that matters is making your starting lineup a big, beefy. This is a point that was made over at rotoviz.com. So I gotta shout out my buddy Charles, who is the managing editor of rotoviz.com.
Attribution.
No matter what you do, make a trade to bolster your starting lineup. That means if you got four good wide receivers, trade two of them for one good running back. Mm. All that matters is that your starting lineup improves. At this point, death does you no good. In fact, it's actually kind of a deterrent. If you got,
bye week's done.
Bye weeks are over with. If you got a couple of like good tight ends, or if you got a couple of good, you can't use them all. You can't take that with you. This is when you got to just get rid of everything and go all in, and bolster your starting lineup.
So I want to know what your tips are for bribing the people who aren't in the playoffs to get their best players.
Well, it starts with a text message. I think, you know, anyone that's played on Yahoo or ESPN, when you get an email that someone has offered you a trade, you got to figure that has like a 5% historic return rate mm-hmm. on success. I mean, it just, nothing is going to get done unless you pick up the phone, unless you get in touch with somebody directly.
You send flowers to his wife.
Send flowers to the wife.
You buy me something on Amazon.
Ethics are interesting, right? Because, you know, like we were talking about this earlier before we came on. It's a shitty thing to do to just sort of like rig it, play spoiler, throw your players.
That's
at a
awesome.
Good team. Because then we get into collusion. But
it's not collusion. I just want to see some. I just want to watch the world burn.
You want to play God.
That too.
Yes. Yeah, so you're saying you're the bane of.
It's like if I can't win, I want to determine who wins.
Make sure you send a lot of like.
It's your power.
So how do you determine who wins?
I will fucking just flip a coin if I have to.
Now, here's the other thing. You know, I think the most underrated part of this part of the season, you know, what's fun about a fantasy football league traditionally is that you're in a league with people that you know and care about, right? So there's a little game theory involved. So you got to get inside people's heads. And we should all kind of go around and say what we do to get inside people's heads. Number one, you know, send out an email to the whole league. When you pull off a trade, subject line for immediate release, and then the email is just a YouTube video of like a supervillain laughing, and just send that to the league.
The full Ruxin,
and just send that.
It's just a Rick roll.
Record memos on your phone, like saying like happy supportive things, or like mean spirited things, and then just send memos to people in your league directly via text message. Bench all of your players until it's just before game day, so the whole week they don't know who they're going to play. And then 5 minutes before the game, you just start all your players, and then they just see what's in front of them.
That's interesting.
If you have a Monday night player and a Sunday afternoon player, and they play the same position, and you want to start one guy, start the other guy in your lineup. And then once the noon games start, flip that. So the guy in his head is like, okay, I know who he started. I'm not going to worry about it. And then the 3 o'clock game happens and Thomas Rawls goes off. And he's like, shit, Thomas Rawls went off. But fuck, man, good thing I didn't have to deal with that.
Mean.
And then he gets home Sunday night and he goes, fuck, Thomas Rawls, what? 200 yards and 2 touchdowns.
I want to know how you manage all this stuff with 12 teams.
Well, I don't have any children.
And a job and a wife.
Well, you do have Penny technically.
Honestly, it's because I don't have kids. I mean, when you have kids, you have to put a lot of time and effort into them, and I think that's a beautiful thing, and maybe that'll happen someday. But right now, the fact is,
your fantasy football is your kids.
My fantasy. I have 12 children,
like a Catholic rabbit,
and they're all my fantasy. So, what about you guys?
They're all winners.
What are some game theory suggestions for our listeners? Hey, you do this, and it'll really get inside your opponent's
head. I go into full on bribery. I'm not kidding. Like, if you want to win and you have somebody in your league that's as unethical as you, find out what they want and give it to them. I'm just saying, like, if how bad do you want to win? How much is it worth to you? Because I have a very small price. You buy me a $5 Blu-ray, take my players. I don't care.
Done.
Well, there's always an Elliot. Yeah, there's always an Elliot in the league. And I think there's something to that. I don't know. I don't know what the ethics are
because
there.
Because I am turning something that had no value to me to something that has value. Yeah. So I win.
And then, you know, you think of those like, you know, those
something
like,
tangible.
Yeah.
Those like college deals where like, you know, there was one guy in your league that was like just such a fuck off like Elliot. And you'd like trade. There'd be like a 3 a.m. trade after like a party or something. And then you'd wake up the next day. I don't know. But I think that's out of bounds. I mean, like, what can you actually do to really get inside your, you know.
Okay. Well, that may be out of bounds. But what you can do is secretly collude. And who are you I'm kidding. Who are you friends with in your league better than other people in your league? And if you can keep that shit quiet. And what you're going to want to do is you want a dummy trade. You want to arrange a 3-team, 4-team trade saying, well, because you need a fall guy. So you want to have, I'm going to trade the player that my friend really wants to X, and I know that X will trade that to my friend. So you have an interface.
Yeah.
And it's not just direct. And so people, you have that plausible deniability.
Well, so like one thing I tried earlier this year when the Dolphins fired Joe Philbin and hired Dan, or moved up Dan Campbell, Lamar Miller is a guy that I've liked for years. And every year I try to draft him, and every year I miss him. And so this year I was like, I have a feeling Dan Campbell is going to give the ball to Lamar Miller. So I tried to trade him from Brian, original founder of this podcast, because he doesn't pay that much attention to fantasy football, or so I thought, because now he has a girlfriend who loves it, and so now he pays more attention to it, and he goes, nah, I'm not giving you Lamar Miller. And that week, and he proceeded to
what
score.
What if it's like a Jenny Kevin situation?
Speaking of Brian Salisbury.
She's not in our league, so.
I just want to say shout out to Brian Salisbury. I beat him at 21 points this week.
Yes. Beat him he is one of the only people I've beaten this year. Because I am 2-8.
Yeah.
Well, that said, though, my team.
This would have been his last year, but thankfully, the girlfriend he has is going to keep him in it next year.
Yeah.
And I'll see if I can get her into our ATX league.
That's a good woman. I'm actually curious also about another scenario. So, what if you're in a work fantasy league and your main competition is your boss?
You lose.
Yeah.
No.
You lose.
Oh, no. I relish the. Yeah.
Man, but here's the thing, you can turn stuff that does not matter. Like, it really doesn't, into something that can help your career. And what you do is you gin him up. You say, man, this is going to be a good game. But then what you do is you say, shit, I forgot to set my lineup because I was working. He wins. He thinks you work hard. Boom. You're in good with your boss for the right reasons.
That's kind of devious.
I'm not mad at that.
I'm a lawyer. Nice. This is what I do.
I forgot to set my lineup because I was working too hard. I don't know,
it's
man.
It's the anti. It's not Kevin. Who's the other guy in the league? Mark Duplass. Pete. It's the anti Pete move.
Yeah.
You guys, that's hilarious.
It's Kevin because the name of the team is Pete Top, Kevin Bottom.
All right, we should probably move on.
Kevin is Jenny's husband.
Yeah. We should probably move on a little bit. All right. It's, again, the undercard of all this. It's a huge NFL week. You got your fan. Now, again, last thing, I just want to be very clear. Hey, guys, you're about to go into a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, a six-day war that starts right now. Pick up your players, bolster your starting lineup, troll your friends.
Yes.
But above all, I know you're traveling. I know you have family in town. I know your routine is off. You're not sitting at the office on a Thursday afternoon. So do your due diligence. There's no excuse. Set your lineups.
I wake up.
Tinker with your lineups. Do not forget. That's inexcusable. All right. On a college football tip. Boy, we got some turnover and we got some turmoil in the coaching ranking. And we probably should have led the show with this. We're recording this on a Monday. Monday afternoon news breaking that Les Miles, his tenure at LSU may be coming to an end. Elliot, I want to ask you, because again, this is a little bit like the Mac Brown situation. He'd been there a long time. He'd won a title. Beloved.
Two titles.
From a national point of view, he's seen as one of the guys.
Yeah.
He was a candidate to go to Michigan.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of memorable things, but the fan base seems to be kind of tired.
The thing with the fan base is that he has lost to Alabama too many times straight. It feels, the problem with Les Miles, and I love Les Miles, I think he's a great coach, and he's entertaining, which is what I care about more than anything, because like, I don't want to be a part of a fan base that expects to win every 5 years.
Sure.
Honestly, because I think those are shitty fan bases. Like, Alabama, I think, is shitty. I think Penn State's shitty. Like, I think,
Penn State doesn't expect to win anything, though. They're shitty for
yes, they do. Like, reasons. If you talk to Penn State fans, like, now that their fucking St. Joe Pa is gone, they expect to win. Like, if you look at, who's the other one? Fucking Ohio State. I don't want to be a part of that fan base. I want a fan base that's like, we're going to have fun. We're going to win about 8-9 games a year, but we're going to have fun. But LSU is turning into something else, and he's just getting pushed out because he has been losing the big game every year, and it's frustrating. And he gave LSU fans, and honestly, I put this on him because he's the coach and he calls the fucking plays. He gave us like the biggest, honestly, the biggest heartbreak. This is probably the I'm not kidding here. This is like the seventh biggest heartbreak I've ever
before
had.
Before you go
life.
Into that heartbreak, I got to put on the soundtrack for you here. No, not quite.
Okay.
All right, please continue.
Technical difficulties.
Like, seriously, like I've had some tough times in my life, but the seventh worst one in my life was that 2011 game against Alabama where they didn't cross the fucking 50-yard line. And it wasn't because we didn't have the athletes. It was that he did not say, you know, I think I should just figure out some different plays. Or develop a quarterback. Like, he's the anti, what's his name, the guy from A&M, Kevin Sumlin. He does not develop quarterbacks.
I think it's also particularly painful because considering like your number one rival is the guy who you replaced, the guy left your school to go to the NFL, and yeah. You took over.
And here's the thing, yeah. I'm not kidding here. I would punch Saban in the fucking face if I saw him face to face. I'm not even playing around because he's a dick. You want to go to the NFL and you want to come back to college? That is cool. You want to come back to the same conference? Sort of a dick move. Still fine. Don't come back to the same fucking division of the same conference. That makes you a dickhole.
Mm-hmm.
And he can fucking burn in hell.
He's still probably the best coach in the game right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not the best coach because he's not in the NFL.
Well, so speaking of what ifs, all right. So let's say that this is Les Miles.
Yes, it's not. Let's say he's going to get bought out. He's going to get like a $10 million payday.
$15 million.
$15 million.
Assistants are another $2 million.
So what happens next for LSU? Who comes into LSU?
They're looking for Jimbo Fisher.
Is that really a promotion for Jimbo Fisher? Why
I think
leave?
It's a promotion because he can.
It can be.
Florida State and unlike Alabama, excuse me, Louisiana is one of those rare states where you can lock down the entire state. Like Saban's been poaching Louisiana lately, but if you can get like a program where the quarterbacks really know they're going to be able to play. And these receivers are going to be able to play before they get to the NFL because the NFL, these LSU NFL receivers are really good, but they don't play when they're at LSU. Jimbo Fisher, because like Les Miles has sort of locked down Louisiana for the last 10 years. It's starting to wane because he keeps on losing Alabama. Jimbo Fisher can lock down, if you can lock down Louisiana, you have a path to the championship every year because it's one of the best recruiting grounds in the country.
I mean, you could say the same thing for the state of Texas. And
No, you can't.
I don't see Kevin Sumlin.
No, but you can't because Texas has to. Texas has UT, A&M, TCU,
Baylor,
Tech. Alabama has Alabama and Auburn. Florida has Florida State and Florida. Georgia.
Miami.
Georgia has Georgia Tech. Louisiana only has LSU.
So you're saying you're saying the job theoretically is easier.
It's easier to recruit because.
But you don't like Louisiana Lafayette?
Man, fuck ooh la la.
Ooh la la.
And fuck Louisiana Tech.
Tulane.
The only thing good to ever come out of Louisiana Tech was a fucking Chevy.
All right. So you know, and we just want to address this really quickly. So Charlie Strong, rumors that he might go to Miami.
Well,
Texas.
He should go to Miami.
Before we go to that, I just want to say like if college football loses Les Miles, that's going to be a fucking tragedy.
That's bummer.
He is one of the like better characters in college football.
I want to be a commentator.
Yeah, no, I want him to like replace Lee Corso at college
what's
game
it,
day.
What's
or something
the
like
what's that guy's
know?
Name on SEC on CBS? Like Wendell, like whoever the people who call the SEC games, he could replace them.
Yeah.
But Les Miles is only.
I mean, yeah, he could pick up somewhere.
Yeah, he's only 62 years old.
Which is, it's up there. You
see,
know,
and this is how you know he's a head coach, because if somebody told me, hey, you're 62, Elliot, and we're going to give you $15 million just so you don't have to work here,
mm-hmm.
I'd fuck off and just do nothing for the rest of my life.
You got yourself a deal.
Or you could take the $15 million and then take someone else's $5 million a
it's
year.
True.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. And potentially, he's still there's a hell of a coach. He can still go and be successful and, like, maybe even win a national championship somewhere.
And he's still healthy. Like, he's still a very virile guy.
There's grass to eat at other stadiums, so.
Do you ever feel like the polls in college football set up teams just so that we can have, like, a nice matchup? You know, like, Alabama, LSU, a top four matchup that probably shouldn't have been that particular week.
SEC knows what it's doing.
We're headed toward an Alabama-Florida SEC title game that's going to be a top 10 matchup. But nobody, come on, nobody thinks
Alabama's going to just fucking, they're going to wear them like a lampshade.
And it's, you know, it's heartbreaking because Ole Miss has beaten Alabama and LSU. And
They lost to Memphis.
Had a chance. Had they beat Memphis, they'd be controlling their own fucking destiny.
That's too fucking bad.
They would have frozen out Bama and LSU from the SEC West.
You know what?
And Nelly.
As somebody who hates Ole Miss, in every aspect of Ole Miss, from their school to their fucking mascot to their obsession with the Confederate flag, fuck Ole Miss. Fuck Ole Piss. Sure. They can go fuck themselves and die in a fucking fire.
But the fight in Akbar's.
Yeah, that would have been fantastic. Now, today, Charlie Strong, during his weekly press conference, he said... that was actually a big pivot. Basically, another one is Charlie Strong going to bolt Texas and leave for Miami? Now, he'd have every reason to.
He should.
He's in a situation where the guy that brought him in got fired. Mm-hmm. You know how it is with work. Your boss gets fired... The new management comes in. You're not essential to the operation.
You
go on monster.com.
You have to suffer through.
You start fixing up your LinkedIn profile.
Your LinkedIn profile, you know. Yeah, exactly.
It's like I went through something like that, and like it's the process is basically either you leave, or you just like eat shit until they realize you're essential.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, okay, we shouldn't... Yeah, I'm glad we didn't fire you. It's like, yeah, motherfucker.
But at the same time, if you're head coach of University of Texas, that's a much more high-profile job. That's a much bigger deal than if you're just kind of some paper pusher.
Well, it is. And Charlie Strong... I mean, the other argument is, I mean, you know, to be very clear, the job is easier at Miami. He just recruits out of his state.
Yeah.
Which he's already familiar with.
Which he's already... Texas had the Florida Five come in this year. A bunch of kids in Florida. So you recruit within your state. You're beloved over there. He is the player. I mean, he was recruiting Florida from Louisville. He's the charismatic guy that mom wants to send you to. He's the father figure. It's just a no-brainer in terms of the fit. That said, and this is something that Bucky Gottlieb said, or Bucky...
Diebold?
Bucky shit. Bucky...
Godbolt.
Gottlieb is the Doug Gottlieb guy. Excuse me. Anyway...
Is he the he's the morning guy on
the morning guy on the horn
and 104.9 the horn.
And he made this point, and I think it's worth repeating. This is bigger than Charlie Strong. This is about being an African American coach at the University of Texas, representing, making history, being an example. And whether or not you believe that or not isn't the case. The point is Charlie Strong knows that. Charlie Strong believes that. Charlie Strong sees that actively, and I think he feels added pressure to stay at Texas. And today on Monday, he came out and said, I don't run from anything. So I would be very surprised if he bolted.
There's also the issue of the $15 million left on his contract. He'd have to be bought out for $15 million, too, and who's going to foot that bill?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Joe Jamil could fit that bill enough.
Just that's like, let me get my checkbook. You know, my pocketbook's but in I my tell you, you know, jacket.
Bucky had a good point because, like, that is something. Like, it's what I do is not remotely the same what Charlie Strong does. But like, being an African American lawyer, like, I have made decisions against my better career because I don't want to fucking run from things. I'm gonna stick it out. And if he's on that, he's not gonna go anywhere. They're going to get him out of that job until he knows he's successful.
Yeah.
Because like, I have stayed at jobs. Until I fucking know that I have done what I wanted to do, I'm not leaving, even if I'm not getting paid more than I could get paid somewhere else. So, like, that's a very... I would have never thought about it like that. That's a very smart insight from Bucky. But I tell you, if he was... I hate to say this, but if he was not an African-American coach, he should go to Miami.
Yeah.
Because he is going to be on such a bubble next year. Yeah. Every game...
I think that he is putting himself in a position which I think that he's doing the right thing by doing this. He would be in a better position in Miami, but he's also putting in himself in a position to fail pretty spectacularly because the current situation at Texas is not a good one. You know, there's a lot of politics going on behind the scenes. There's a lot of difficulties trying to figure out their identity as a team.
And let's be real. There's a lot of big part of that back behind the scenes stuff is that he's not a white coach. And I'm telling you that right now, like there was, what's his name? McCombs was like, well, he could be a position coach.
Yeah. He said that.
I don't think. And like, I gotta tell you, like, I've heard that shit about my dad my entire life. I've heard that about my uncles. I've heard that about me. It's like, if you're the best at your job as a minority, even if you're the best, they will promote you. They want you to be a level below what you should be.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, oh, we don't know. Yeah. Like, when Obama was running, it was, you know, he would make a good cabinet secretary.
He'd be a good vice president.
I don't know about president.
Well, the Obama thing, there was a lot of, like, oh, he should wait. He should wait. He should wait, which nobody thought.
So, I mean, like, and I'm not trying to cop that out, but, like, I think the thing you get with being a minority in America is there is no margin for error. You the fucking win, and by win, I mean just run up the score.
Yep.
Or you just get fucking fired. That's all it is. And I'm not saying it's so much easier, because, like, I don't know, to be white in America, but I feel like I've seen this at least a little bit of a margin of error.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I have the best results at my place, and there's, like, that I better have those results.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I better keep on getting them.
Totally, man. All right. And lastly, and this is the final piece of the puzzle. No, it's not. But it is another key piece to the college carousel, and that's Chip Kelly. You know, where do you see him going? I think it's very clear that the situation in Philadelphia is not going to pan out. I think it's very clear that is a comprehensive failure. You know, it just did not work for him. I just maybe in a couple of years he can go back and give it another go. But the notion of having guys fit his system, is not going to work.
It doesn't even going into this season with all the questionable moves that he made. I was like, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt because he won 20 games his first 2 years. But yeah, I'm throwing in the towel. I was wrong about that one.
But where does he end up?
I mean, the rumor is, and this is probably the least likely of the ones we've discussed so far. But if Charlie Strong leaves Texas for Miami, Texas could afford Chip Kelly.
Yep.
And People like the idea of him instituting that system here with these athletes and think it would work really well here. And
what about Mizzou? They're looking for a new coach.
Well, there's a lot of places that are looking for a new coach.
Yeah, USC. It's a deep...
Chip Kelly's going to go to... He's going to come to a Texas or he's going to come to a USC or even an LSU.
I think it also...
Oh, my God.
I think that these two things kind of really feed in pretty well, though. So, I mean, like, if we're talking, like, recruiting battles and we're talking about bringing in talent and we're talking about race issues, you know, like, if Charlie Strong as an African American leaves University of Texas or gets let go or fired or pushed out or any of those things, then all of a sudden one of their biggest in-state rivals, Texas A&M, they have another black head coach right there. And so, like, that's going to sway a lot of recruits.
Yeah, it will.
You know, so, like, does the University of Texas, like, do, like, the boosters and the people behind the curtain have that kind of understanding that,
because I can tell you the talk that those recruits are going to get from there is like, it's not the current generation, it's their fathers and their grandfathers are going to be like,
oh yeah, absolutely. No, but I think that's a
Go with that. You better go with that brother. Like that's going to be the talk.
But I agree with everything you're saying. I just sincerely believe that Charlie Strong is going to get his third year and he's going to get a chance to play this thing.
Oh yeah, and he absolutely should. I think if he does get forced out, or, you know, leaves of his own volition, quote-unquote, or whatever. Like, I think it would still be a mistake. And I think it's absurd the amount of people that are saying that, oh, he's gone after this year, you know, even if they've had a down
See,
year.
I don't think he's... down years. I think if he had lost that Oklahoma game...
Yeah.
But that Oklahoma game was such a feel-good win.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Something to hang his head on. You know, again, you know, the problem with Texas is that... Sorry, I just saw a funny tweet that while I explain this, I'm going to show it to you guys. Check out the side by side. But
okay, I want to take a picture of that. I want to take a picture.
I'm going to retweet it.
Okay. So,
sorry.
It's all right. Did Raphael also kill a guy?
No, I don't know. So, see, you
kill a guy. So explain what it is.
All right. There's just so many college football jobs this holiday season. It's just really, truly unbelievable. All right. Let's get back on task here. And I apologize for the listeners and for literally everybody that's not in this room right now, because that was just kind of like a waste of time. But it's just damn funny.
Just like the rest of this podcast.
And as I'm talking, Elliot is like grabbing that picture and like...
Putting it
on Facebook.
And I'm retweeting it, and I'm saving it. This is glorious.
All right.
But explain what the picture of. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just a side-by-side. Somebody took it for anybody that watched the Patriots play the Bills. Ray Lewis was in a top hat and trench coat. So someone put a picture of Ray Lewis side-by-side next to a picture of Raphael from the Ninja Turtles movie.
I do a thing every now and then. I do hashtag sibling casting. Nice. Like, find two actors that look alike, and they could play brother, could play siblings, and yeah, that would be a good.
That's great.
Oh my god, this like made my week. I'm good. This is what I'm thankful for.
Yeah, it started with my realization that like the ultimate sibling casting for me, and this is my own little sidebar. I never have these.
Yeah, give in to the sidebar.
Would be Robert Downey Jr., Jeffrey Dean Morgan, and Javier Bardem.
Yes,
all three of them played brothers.
That would really work.
That'd be great. They could be like in a Wes Anderson movie.
Yes.
So we've talked a lot of abstract shit here, but let's talk about X's and O's. College football, big week of action. I'm going to run through these games very quickly because we have other things to discuss. Navy and Houston, two ranked teams on Friday morning at 11 a.m.
Well, if you love America, you have to go for Navy.
Yeah,
fuck Houston.
But man, I'm liking what the Cougars are doing. Yeah, I mean, obviously you have to look. Can you guys name one player on Navy? I can't. So just
Uncle Sam, Lady Liberty, Roosevelt.
But yeah, you guys should watch. It'll be a fun one. But this is actually a game that I'm pretty excited.
That will be a really good game. It's going to be a game that 2 years ago you would have been like, "That's going to be a game."
Two ranked opponents. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right. Baylor at TCU. This is not the top five colossal pissing contest we thought we were going to get.
Yeah.
But it is a Friday evening showdown at 6:30.
I go with Baylor.
Well, yeah, these are two teams that, I mean, TCU really gave what it could to Oklahoma, but it's just down so many pieces that, yeah, you have to like Baylor on the road. All right. What about, I think this is the trap game of all trap games. The most mediocre undefeated team in history, Iowa, traveling to Nebraska.
Oh, Iowa.
A school that's already beat Michigan State at 2:30. I kind of think Iowa's – I really think Nebraska has a little something for Iowa. Iowa –
They're going to husk their corn.
Is it in Lincoln?
It's in Lincoln.
It's in Lincoln. Iowa's only a 1.5-point favorite.
Oh.
Hmm. Give me Nebraska. I'm telling you right now, the feel-good story of the year, the epic troll job of the year is not going to work. I like Nebraska.
Actually, 1.5, I actually do kind of like Nebraska.
You know what? Give me Iowa. Like, it's just, this is not when they lose. They will lose, but not this time. Not this day.
All right, just the rivalry games, right? Washington, Washington State. Believe it or not, the Cougars are ranked for the first time in what feels like several years.
Really?
Washington just not meeting expectations this year. Oregon, Oregon State, 3 o'clock Central. Oregon, Vernon, whatever his name is, turning it on. Some impressive consecutive victories. Obviously, Oregon, you can expect to win big. Saturday, Clemson at South Carolina. Ooh. That's another tough rivalry game.
Clemson's going to just wear them out.
They're going to destroy.
They're going to dab on them.
Has South Carolina lost to the Citadel this weekend?
Ohio
what?
State.
Yeah.
Ohio State and Michigan. Oh, I'm just running through all these. Ohio State and Michigan, North Carolina, North Carolina State, Bama, Auburn, UCLA, USC.
What's the Iron Bowl?
Florida State, Ole Miss, Mississippi, Notre Dame, Stanford, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. Holy fuck. I just want to see all these games.
And it's Elliott and Logan Hate Week.
Texas A&M against LSU. Two teams that are not ranked.
Whoop.
Playing Saturday at 6:30.
Arizona State, Cal.
Ugh.
The only reason I care about this game is that I'm not trying to be funny. I want Les Miles to go out on a win.
Yeah.
He deserves that.
That's not going to be. He's going to get a bowl game.
Yeah, but it's not the same.
All right. In any case, just a couple other things that I want to talk about a little bit. Just very quickly, this is something that we just wanted to pause and acknowledge because it's been called the best thing that Marvel Studios has ever done. This is a series that people really love. Now, I haven't watched it, but it looks like Jessica Jones is really something that people need to be watching. Elliot,
if you get sick of college football over the holiday,
I have several reasons why I love Jessica Jones. One, really good writing. Two, makes David Tennant into a villain, which I can't believe people hadn't done that before.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Kristen Ritter finally gets the recognition she deserves. It's another Marvel property that's done right, but and I hate to keep on bringing it back to this, but this is my reality. This is the world I live in, how I perceive things.
David Tennant was evil in Harry Potter.
Okay. Well, for me, it's the first time I have ever, in mainstream media, seen a sex scene with a black man and a white woman that is done that way, and it is not a fucking shy sex scene. It is like, man, y'all are getting it in. Jesus Christ. And like, it just,
like, I hope I don't hurt you.
And yeah, and it's like, it's not the, like, it's not a sexual thing. It's just politically, I liked watching it. And they didn't make a mention of it. It was just these two people are really into each other. And it just, for me, it was really big that it marked a point in our culture where it didn't have to be a special episode. It was just Luke Cage and Jessica Jones.
Yeah, I mean, like,
want to fuck each other, so they're going to fuck the shit out of each other.
It's canon for the comics, but yeah. they also didn't shy away from that either. Which yeah, it is, was, I think, is a good.
Yeah, it was. Like, I'm saying, like, I'm full disclosure. I, as a teenage boy and as a guy in college, I have watched my share of porn. This was like
the hottest
sex scene I think I've ever seen. Because like, it's just Jesus Christ, Kristen Ritter, and whoever's playing Luke Cage, like, y'all got at it.
I was watching that with my fiance, and I was like, we were like, whoa, this is
Jesus, wow.
So yeah. Okay, why is this a good show?
Just the writing's really good. They really slow burn things, and they play with your perceptions.
Mm. So, like, so I would say that at least in the beginning, or at least for like the major, or at least kind of like the day to day stuff, it's not a superhero story. It's the story of a character who just happens to have superpowers.
I went through the first three episodes, and I'm not as familiar with the comics, and so it took me three episodes for me to finally, like, go on the internet. I'm like, what in the hell does she do? And so finally I was like, oh. And then I looked at Luke Cage's powers. I was like, oh, okay. So they're not even really superpowers per se. They're just really strong as shit.
Yeah, but also, like, it took until, like, episode three for, like, my fiance to be like, oh, wait, she has superpowers? Like, yeah, that's kind of the point.
Yeah, she's sort of, like, sick of that.
It was kind of subtle.
And these have the benefit of, and I think Vince Gilligan with Breaking Bad was the first guy to really kind of figure this out, in that television doesn't have to be an episodic mini movie sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Vince Gilligan looks at the entire opus of Breaking Bad, and he's like, I made a 96-hour movie, is what I did. And so the same thing with these Marvel, like Daredevil is essentially a 13-hour movie. This is going to be a 13-hour movie. Every Marvel Netflix series is going to be a 13-hour movie, essentially. And that's something that the Avengers movies can't do.
Well, you know, that actually leads me to a good geek point. Like, there was a point on Saturday where I was reading a Marvel comic, I took a break to read from reading a Marvel comic to watch Jessica Jones, and then I played Disney Infinity to play Marvel characters, and they were all for different reasons. Like the comic book, I was trying to follow the comic storyline. Jessica Jones, I would watch that if it was from DC or wherever, because it's a good TV show. And Disney Infinity, like, I like the characters. So like, Disney, after they bought Marvel, has done such a good job of diversifying that line and making it profitable. It's like, I want Disney to buy my life and just be like, hey, we're gonna get you a better job.
Yeah.
We're gonna, like, get all your shit together, Elliot. That's what we're gonna do.
I can't wait for the second season of Daredevil. One of my best friends went to film school with a guy who actually is working on the second season of Daredevil, and he shared with me behind the scenes pictures that I wasn't supposed to see that revealed one of the more popular Punisher Daredevil storylines that is a little more obscure.
Is this a scoop?
It's like,
are you breaking something here?
I mean, I'm not going to say specifically which storyline, but it's one.
Oh, you got to say it.
No. We don't want to get this guy in trouble.
Yeah.
How? Why would you get in trouble?
It just involves the Punisher and Daredevil, and one of the storylines that they have and how they meet.
Is it the? Okay.
Yeah.
Who are you going to get in trouble with?
Well, like, on the off chance, like, somebody who watches this, like, puts it out somewhere, and it gets traced back.
Yeah.
To your friend.
Yeah.
But then no one knows who your friend is.
Even then, like, they could...
I'm sure that they could trace the line.
Yeah, that'd be good enough for a smart person with Facebook.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's...
Okay, like, I respect that. I see what you're saying. Yeah, somebody could say, wait a minute. Like, let's say that this blew up.
Yeah.
Somebody could say, wait, who's this guy? Let me look at this guy's Facebook. This guy's friends with Bob Johnson.
Who's on the fucking set.
Hey, Bob, you're fired. But what we can reveal and confirm is that this Daredevil and Punisher storyline is happening. So put on your seatbelts.
Or not. Maybe it's just a red herring.
Well, no, the Punisher thing's happening. No.
I just like how the journalist in you, like, just fully came out for a second there. You were like, hey, wait a second.
What's the story?
We got a scoop here.
We'll talk about this offline.
Like the Kim Possible, what's the sitch?
No. It's fine. I get that. I respect that. All right.
But I would also like to say I like Jessica Jones. I would say quite a bit more than Daredevil.
Really? But also, hold on.
It's that good.
For those of you who are like me and don't know who the fuck Jessica Jones is or what she does or what
it is. I didn't know who she was.
You don't need to know who she is.
Yeah. Okay. But she's a superhero in the Marvel Universe.
But she's a superhero.
What's the TLDR about her series?
I'll give it to you. She's a superhero who stopped being a superhero.
A retired superhero.
And just wants to do something with her powers, but she's so traumatized that she just can only do as much as she can.
That sounds very powerful.
And she's a PI, and she's an alcoholic, and she's kind of has her own mental issues and stuff like that. But it's really good. I think it's actually better to watch it without having an understanding of who
it really is.
Because like, I didn't really have a good idea of it, and I had to look it up after the fact, after I watched the season, and appreciate
honestly,
it more.
Honestly, as somebody who's read their source, I think you're right, Logan. This is better than the source.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's done so well. It's presented in a way that's really entertaining, and the acting, the writing, the shooting. Yeah. And
I didn't think Kristen Ritter had it in her to like be that.
She's great in it
because she was great in Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. Mm-hmm. Like she's been great in everything she's done. But
she was really powerful in Breaking Bad. I thought.
Yeah, I didn't think she had this in her, and it's amazing. Yep. Like Marvel's really good at just finding that like young talent that they can sign all these contracts and developing because. Mm-hmm. Was Chris Evans a draw before Captain America?
Not as much. He was just a pretty boy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Or even before Fantastic Four.
Well, he's in Perfect Score with Black Widow.
Hmm.
That's a little bit of a tangent, guys. Let's reel it in.
Is this your first time on this show?
So speaking of stuff that we like... We got Black Friday coming up. Now,
yes.
We wanted to sort of set this up as a sort of Black Friday guide.
Please.
I don't, as a matter of principle and being lazy and disorganized, I do not participate in Black Friday. Do you if you got to do you. But I want to ask you guys, what is the hot holiday item this year, and how are you spending Black Friday?
Furby.
Furbies.
Yeah.
Furbies and Fitbits. Elliot, what about you?
For me, like Black Friday, I don't really buy like the hottest item on Black Friday. What I do is I do not buy a lot of the new run Blu-rays and DVDs during the year. Yeah. I buy them all on Black Friday because they're marked down to like $6, $4, $2. So like I've already calculated it. I'm going to buy $144 of DVDs on Black Friday, but that would normally cost me, in a conservative estimate, $500.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm just going to be loading up. And, like, it's great because you go, nobody's looking at the Blu-rays. So I just
everyone's look at the TVs and the whatever.
I stroll up when the damn thing opens. So everybody's lined up. I just stroll up, walk, get my Blu-rays, and go home. I might buy a Surface for Black Friday because I have a desktop computer because I love having a desktop computer. And my iPad I got a few years ago was sort of crapping out on me. And I think the Surface is a pretty strong competitor right now. And they're pretty cheap. I can get a Surface, like a really good one, for about $400.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about getting a Surface, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Although I don't have a new system yet because I'm not going to buy one for another few years. I like to play all my games. But if you really want a PS4 or an Xbox One, a lot of these places are going to be running a $300 deal for these consoles that were $500, $400 when they came out with a game, with maybe a few games.
Yeah.
So pick up a $300 PS4, Xbox One if you want one.
And those don't run out immediately.
Yeah, they don't.
Yeah. I'm kind of in the same boat. I go after some of the Blu-rays that I don't get because I review Blu-rays, so I actually get a lot free throughout the year. But the ones that I don't get, I tend to pick up on Black Friday. This year, I don't really need a 55-inch TV, but if I come across a really good deal on one that I can afford, because I've been looking at some of the prices, and like if I can not have to fight someone for a $350 55-inch TV, I might pull the trigger.
That's a good deal.
Get it.
I mean, 55. I got one a few years ago, man. Yeah. It is nice to have one.
Yeah. The thing about Black Friday is everybody kind of goes after the doorbusters and like the $150 50-inch TV, and like don't go after that because you won't.
Yeah, it's stupid.
You won't get it.
It's usually like a 720p and piece of shit or something.
Right. That's true too.
And you have to fight off a lot of people for it. Like do kind of what Elliot said. Stroll in after it opens. Don't buy the super lowest priced ones because those will be gone. Actually, look a couple steps higher, and it's still a good TV, still a really good deal, and nobody buys them.
Yeah, and to echo that again, like I wait a year after a video game comes out to like buy it. So like Call of Duty: Advanced Warfare was $60 this time last year. It's going to be $15 at Walmart on Black Friday, and I'm just going to stroll in, buy it for $15 and save myself $45 over the course of a year. I mean, that's also just a function of if you're like an adult, you have a job, you don't usually have time to play that much stuff anyway, so like you can just sort of wait and just save your money and then put it in a nice 401k with a well-diversified stock portfolio if we're going to be old.
Okay, Dad.
All right, any other... Now, what about... Should we just skip ahead to... Like, do we just do Cyber Monday?
Cyber Monday. I tell you, you know, that makes a good point. If you are really in the full Zen Black Friday mode, you can just wait. If you have an Amazon Prime membership, just on Thanksgiving all night, and you'd have to stay up, but put a podcast on, maybe put Inside the Locker Room, maybe put Rage Select on, maybe put a Giant Bomb on, and just wait for these daily flash deals to pop up. And what Amazon will do is they will undercut by about a dollar or two every one of the deals at all the big box retailers. And so if you don't want to go out, you don't have to. And it's don't wait till Monday, though. You got to be up on Thursday, Friday. You got to be up on your game because you can get a lot of good shit. And you just sit there and you click. Because like I've already gotten some good stuff already. Like I got two lamps, like these really nice like daylight lamps that mimic daylight. Because, like, I get seasonal affective disorder, so I really did sort of need it. And, like, they were regular $200. They were $200 on every other website. Amazon had them marked down for 10 minutes only to $30 a piece. Mm. I bought two of them. I got one in my car right now. One's in my office.
I would also say, as an aside to that, if you're a video gamer, specifically if you have PC, yes. Steam always has amazing sales.
Yes.
I've got to the point now where I've bought almost pretty much everything that I want on PC to the point where I don't have enough time to play all these games that I own. Wow. But because these games are ridiculously cheap, you're going to be getting amazing games on Steam for like $2-3, you know, like 60, 70, 90% off.
Yeah, and you make a good point. If you want to watch the best Steam deals, there's a subreddit on Reddit called just type into Google R game deals, and just there are people that like it's their job. They just post the best deals.
Yep,
constantly, and just refresh that page. You're gonna find the best deals. And also, if you want to find just the best Black Friday deals, I would follow Kaninja on Kotaku.com. It's like a Gawker website. I don't like Gawker the main page, but whoever does that deal website, they're on their shit because they get you the best deals.
It's just deals.kinja.com.
Deals.kinja.com.
Kinja's basically their
stuff. Yeah, I also forgot one thing I'm definitely picking up. The first movie of this franchise had been available on Blu-ray, but not the second for the entire time Blu-ray has been around. I don't know why. But you could finally get Bad Boys 2 on Blu-ray.
What? Yes!
And
I have to get that.
It only comes in the franchise set with both movies. But why the hell wouldn't you just get both movies?
They're throwing boats at us, man!
Yeah.
I also don't have a Blu-ray player. So.
What?
Yeah.
Buy one and then buy Bad Boys 2.
No. Go buy a PS4. Have a Blu-ray player.
But I already have a PC, and that's what I play all my games on. So.
Okay. Well, buy an old PS3. That'll play your Blu-ray.
Yeah, but again, I'll have all that physical media I don't really care about.
You can put Hulu and shit on your PS4.
I have a Roku.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you just got all the answers, don't you?
I do. I got shit figured out, man.
Got this shit on lock, man.
All right, so
see, this is a man with a fiance. She's like, this clutter's gonna go away.
No, I actually, it's me that's the one clearing out this clutter.
No, it's funny. Like the Ghostbusters Lego set, like got advertised. It's coming out on January 1st, 2016, and I'm buying that motherfucker. Like my girlfriend, since we're probably gonna end up getting married in a little bit.
Breaking news. This is a scoop right here.
Are you guys engaged?
We're not engaged yet, but like we're heading that way.
Yeah. Listen to this podcast?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like we've talked about it. Like so we sort of joke about like, oh, she gets really nervous at all this stuff I have. And so when that came out, she was just like, no. She didn't even reference it. I was like, but come on.
It's a good woman. Knows you. Knows her audience.
It's time for our NFL picks.
Alright.
Alright, guys. We're gonna make this quick. We're gonna make this engaged. And we're gonna pull this off. I know we're all tired. I know this is the home stretch, but our fans demand this of us.
We have two viewers currently.
It's 3 a.m.
Let's advertise this thing.
2, 3, 4. All right, JC, what do you got?
All right, so let's go Philly. There's 3 Thursday night games because it's Thanksgiving.
Mm.
Philly at Detroit. Detroit +1.
Oof. You know, I think Philly's going to get a few more reps. Detroit is particularly hapless, even though they've won 2 in a row. I think Detroit wins, I think Philadelphia wins 13-19.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it to Detroit.
Yeah, I'm leaning Detroit since it's at Detroit.
Yeah, I like the way Detroit's been trending. I think the pressure is about to get the chip. So I'm going to go Detroit.
Even the chip's going to break.
I love it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Carolina at Dallas. Ooh, the line did move, Logan, we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. Dallas is now a one-point dog.
That still amazes me that like it's that close.
Yeah, the line
a 3-17 against a 10-0 team.
Yeah, the line actually opened up. The Cowboys favored by 1.5, but the line has since moved. So
you know, I tell you what,
Cowboys
folks,
are now 1-point dogs.
I'm going to this game.
Oh yeah,
I'm taking my uncle, 70 years old, in town from Mexico. Has never been to a Cowboys game. Lifelong Cowboys fan. Nice. Taking two uncles. We're not going to lose this game. How do you win if you're the Dallas Cowboys, and why haven't you been winning? It's really not that complicated. You got to have 24 to 34 points, and you have to allow 15 to 21 points. And you do that consistently, you're going to be fine. I think this will be a little bit of a shootout. I think this is a talented, desperate team against a team that's coasting and a little bit on its laurels. Now, people are not respecting.
He threw 5 touchdowns last
people
week.
People are not. What I'm saying, like, I mean, literally resting, like, the stakes are really low for Carolina. That's right, true. Now. And I don't think that people are respecting how good Cam Newton is. I think people mm-hmm. still think that this is a situation where he's going to run. I mean, Cam Newton was playing with 5. This is a guy made a joke on Twitter. He's basically playing with 5 Leonard Hankersons as, like, his supporting cast. But you just can't stop them. I do believe in the Dallas defensive line. I think it can be physical. I think it can slow them down just enough that Cam is going to have to force a few things. Now, Dallas' secondary is beat up. But at the end of the day, I just don't see how Romo doesn't get to 34. So give me Dallas 34-27.
And give me Carolina 44-16.
That's hilarious.
Like, I don't think it's going to be close.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go Carolina.
Yeah, I don't think, even with Romo back, even in Dallas, and actually the Cowboys haven't even been all that great at home, I think that Carolina is just rolling too much right now. Cam is doing too good.
Yeah.
Right now, so.
He's going to dab on him.
Yeah.
I just think it's
I'm a Cowboys fan, but yeah, like, Carolina's got to win this.
Two teams trending in opposite directions. Chicago at Green Bay. Green Bay favored by 9.
Yeah, I mean that's a really generous line.
Yeah.
I think it's going to come down to, you know, what kind of weapons Jay Cutler has available to him.
Chicago,
you know,
covered last week against Denver.
Yeah, Alshon Jeffrey, if he plays, I'm going to be very comfortable with what's going on there. I don't know. I'd be very surprised to see Green Bay cover that kind of a spread, especially just because Jay Cutler can chuck it and he can keep it close. So I like Chicago to cover. I like Green Bay to win 23-20.
Yeah. I like Chicago to cover.
Yeah, Chicago cover, yeah.
What was the line again?
9.
9.
That's a bit too high.
Yeah, that's a big line.
Green Bay got a surprisingly good game out of Eddie Lacy that they're probably not going to get again.
Yeah, I think Green Bay's going to win, but that's a big line, so yeah, I think I have to go with you guys and I'm not going to cover.
Miami at the Jets. Jets favored by 3.5.
Yeah, What have I said for months and months and months? Ryan Tannehill is a bad quarterback. He's been in the league for 4 years.
You're just trying to press my button.
We should have seen more by now. And again, this is a quarterback that has to complete passes to the sideline and that has to scramble and that has to rely on Lamar Miller. He can throw the ball downfield. Until he does, I'm not going to pick him. Give me the Jets big.
Give me the Dolphins. I think they're going to surprise themselves. I think it's just going to be one of those fluke games.
Yeah.
No logic behind it. I just sort of have a feeling.
I'm taking the Jets. If it were 3, I would be a lot more comfortable. Or if it was 3, I'd be more comfortable with Miami. 3.5, I like the Jets.
I'm going to go Miami. We're going to go 50-50 down the line on this pick. Yeah. So.
New Orleans at the surprisingly has a shot at winning the division, Houston Texans.
What?
They're tied for first, 5-5.
How fucking bad is that division?
The TJ Yates train is leaving the station. God.
What the fuck is going on?
That is hilarious. I didn't even actually realize that.
Yep. They've won 4 of their last 5.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's a Christmas miracle.
I gotta go with the Texans because
Texans are favored by 3.
Yeah, I gotta go with the Texans because New Orleans, entire state of Louisiana, sports wise, is a dumpster fire right now.
Is it in Houston?
It is in Houston.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the expectation is that Houston comes out and continues sort of this weird run of beating the Bengals 10-6 on Sunday, or excuse me, on Monday Night Football, following that up with a win against a decent Jets team. But I'm going to go the other way. I just think the Drew Brees Express, I think there's too many. I think he'll dink and dunk him to death.
Yeah.
I like the Saints by a touchdown.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Saints got to win this.
Yeah, I said I was going to go out against Houston all year, and then this past week they've been screwing me lately. But I'm going to do it again. I'm going to go Saints.
And see, what you hear from me is a real Saints fan who doubts the Saints all the time. Because you're always like, they're going to go back to the bad old times.
It's what fans do.
Next game.
Giants at the Washington professional football team. Redskins plus 2.
Giants.
Yeah, Washington is a bad football team with a backup quarterback. You're going to have some good days. You're going to have some bad days when you play with a backup quarterback. But that's just a junior. That's a junior varsity team. The New York Giants are an adult team. I don't know how great they are, but I do know that they're a high-moving, fast, fluid team.
And Ruben Randall's healthy now. They got a good receiving core.
I'd be very surprised to see Washington stay in it. I like the Giants to get up to 6-5 and take control of that division.
Yeah, I like the Giants.
Giants.
Yeah, the Redskins are the epitome of a dumpster fire. You know, the Giants got to win this.
Oakland at Tennessee. Tennessee plus 2.
Well, it's disappointing because we thought Oakland would be a little bit better. Oakland had a couple of showcase games to sort of prove that it belonged in the playoff talk. Now Oakland kind of sits in a really middling, tough place. They haven't been able to get Amari Cooper the ball in 2 weeks. I'm not seeing enough volume out of Derek Carr. I feel like I'd like to see some more attempts there. But Tennessee has some problems protecting the quarterback. Marcus Mariota just doesn't have too much downfield to work with. I'll take the Raiders by a touchdown.
Yeah, I'm going Raiders.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
Yeah, I like Raiders too.
Minnesota at Atlanta. Atlanta minus 2.
Ooh, give me Atlanta.
Well, again, this is, you know, just like that Colts game, coming off a bye at home. You have them down, and then you throw a touchdown pass to DeQuell Jackson that goes the other way. I think Atlanta is falling apart a little bit, and I'll tell you what, I think Minnesota is just a better football team with a better defense, and they can control the clock, control the game. But I like Atlanta to get it done this week by 3.
Yeah, I'm there too. Atlanta by at least a field goal.
I like Minnesota. I don't know why. No real reason behind it.
Good enough.
Elliot. You said Atlanta at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa Bay at Indianapolis. Indy minus 3.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, James Winston's coming on strong, coming off of a 5-touchdown pass performance. Matt Hasselbeck's still a backup quarterback. Indy, though, just kind of finds ways to get it done. I'm going to take Indianapolis.
I don't know. I feel like Tampa Bay is on an arc
right
now.
They have with Hasselbeck.
They have with Hasselbeck. He's undefeated as a starter. He's just a good quarterback. He's a Super Bowl quarterback that can play well, that has some nice pieces around him. And I just think Tampa Bay is just, you know, when you're the Buccaneers, you're going to have good days and bad days. They've had 2 good days in a row. I like the Colts at home.
I'm going to take that dog too. I'm going to take the Bucks.
Yeah, I'm probably going to regret it, but I think that I'm going to go with Tampa Bay here.
I said Tampa Bay.
Oh, okay, my bad. St. Louis at Cincinnati. Cincinnati minus 9.
Cincinnati.
Oof.
Give me Cincinnati.
You know, all of a sudden Cincinnati's lost 2 in a row, 8-2. But that said, Rams have lost 2 ugly games in a row. I thought we hoped they'd be better at this point. I just don't. I think it is what it is.
Case Keenum's the guy now.
Certainly the Bengals are going to win. I'd like the Bengals to win 24-13, so I'll take them to cover.
Okay. Yeah, I think I don't normally like lines that big, but I'll take Cincy.
I'll go Cincy too.
All right.
Buffalo at Kansas City. Kansas City minus 4.
Ooh. Well, Buffalo showed some heart here, but it also showed that it's a team that just can't move the ball. The Chiefs are, you know, coming on strong. They've won back-to-back big games. San Diego, Denver within the division.
Cover a lethal weapon.
I like Kansas City to get it done big.
Yeah, and Kansas City is a really tough place to play, too, so I think that you got to go with them.
Yeah, again, Kansas Chiefs City. Started off 1-5. Chiefs are 5-5 right now. They've won 4 in a row. This is a borderline elite team. Has a lot to play for.
Isn't Chiefs Kansas City in Missouri?
It is.
Okay, just making sure.
It's also in Kansas, but
there's like a
this one isn't.
Okay. Yeah.
San Diego, Jacksonville. Jacksonville favored by 4.
Give me Jacksonville. Like, Bortles has been lighting it up. Like, give me Jacksonville.
Yeah, it's not going to be close.
Which I never thought I'd ever say that.
Next game.
Yeah, I guess I'll go with that too. I don't know.
Yeah, San Diego's bad.
These teams, but so is Jacksonville too. So these teams suck. I really don't want to think about this game. Let's get this.
We'll wait till the Monday night game. Arizona at San Francisco. San Francisco plus 10.5.
Arizona.
We get this game in primetime so many times. The 49ers are a complete mess. They have there's just nothing there. This is a shame. This is one of the great teams in the NFC that was just completely stripped down of its parts. And now Arizona's good. Arizona 30-13.
Yeah. Red Sea, baby. Red Nation.
All right, I think we did it.
We got more.
I agree.
There's 3 more.
Oh, shit. I apologize.
Pittsburgh at Seattle minus 4.5. Seattle minus 4.5.
This might be the game of the week. Desperate teams that have to win that can ill afford a loss. Seattle's at home, so we want to talk 12th man. But I want to talk better quarterback. You know, Big Ben is the guy that can come in and throw 400 yards and 3 touchdowns. Russell Wilson can't do that. Look out for Thomas Rawls to take control of this game with 25-plus carries. Can they dictate the tempo? Can they keep Big Ben off the field?
Mm.
Now, Legion Boob isn't stopping anybody in the fourth quarter.
Mm.
Give me Big Ben and the Steelers on the road by 4.
Yeah, yeah, give me the Seahawks.
The Legion of Boom's broken, so I'm going to take Antonio Brown all day with that.
No, give me the Seahawks at home.
I got to go with Seattle here. I don't really know why. It's another really iffy one there. I don't much like Pittsburgh either, but I think Seattle's going to squeak it out.
This is a rematch to Super Bowl 40, by the way, 10 years later. So this is one that Seattle would like. That was a controversial game with a lot of shitty calls.
New England at Denver. Denver plus 3.5.
Oh, this is a shame. I don't think we're going to get the Brady Manning thing, right?
It sounds like
we're definitely not going to get that. That is
kind of a small line, too.
Heartbreaking. Yeah. I think without Peyton Manning, Brock Osweiler is not going to be Tom Brady.
He sounds like a vegetable dish.
Yeah, I think we're all Patriots there. And
No. Give me Denver.
Oh, okay.
Give me Denver. I think it's going to be a defensive struggle. I think the Broncos defense is going to come through.
Yeah, I'm going to go Pats.
Okay. Finally, Monday night, and who's who gives a shit? Matt Schaub and the Ravens versus a fresh off the rehab wagon, Johnny Manziel, who's partying here in Austin this past weekend.
Let me guess, West 6th?
I mean, Cleveland's minus 2.5 if you care about this game. This is going to be an awful game.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I just two disorganized teams that are bad. Javorius Allen, it's going to be a showcase game for him. Excuse me, JC, I just touched your feet with my feet.
Yep.
Let's think about this critically for a second, though.
Do we really have to?
No.
We're going to think about this game more than the coaches.
I think these teams are both really bad. I think the question is who can protect the football more? I like the Ravens.
Eeny, meeny, miny. Give me the Ravens.
Yeah. Do I have to pick anyone?
I'm
going to go Browns just because, in general, I like the Browns. And it's not just because Johnny Manziel. I was a fan of the Browns before.
I remember how terrible Matt Schaub was. And so, I mean, yeah. I guess the Browns.
The only loser here is the viewer.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I want to watch that game. Oh. Or at least have it on in the background while I play Fallout 4 or something.
There we go.
Yeah.
So is that the are we towards the end there, Ramon?
That's the end of the podcast. Yeah. Thank you for listening, everybody. thank you for staying with us in Rocky.
But you know, what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I'm gonna go to the Cowboys game.
I am cooking my very first ever Thanksgiving turkey for my future-in-law. So
okay, with parents that came down, and then we're gonna do some shopping. Be terrible people.
Yeah, I'm going to Houston, and my girlfriend's coming home to my parents for the first time.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So, yeah, but I hope everyone else out there has a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Safe, happy Thanksgiving.
We're thankful for all of you who listen to us.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to us. Yeah.
Big shout-out to Chaos Bulldog.
Just shout-out to everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody get a shout-out.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
It's a real pleasure to do this. Everybody take care. This is Inside the Locker. Catch us. Fuck it. Players, and then you give me some of your winnings, you know? So it's not just like...
Oh, I've seen the league. That's collusion.
Sign a document that says I want none of your winnings. I just want to screw somebody else over.
Wow, my friend.
Welcome to fantasy football.
This is the era of bad feelings, motherfucker.